There is a man who wanted to take his boat into a river. And the river was a fast-flowing river, but it was a pretty high-powered boat. And it emptied over a rather precipitous falls. But he wasn't worried because he had a high-powered engine in his boat. So he traveled toward the falls. And there was a sign up there that said, do not go past this point. But he knew his boat, and he went past that point. And as he was just preparing to turn around and head back upstream into the current, his engine sputtered and died. And he thought, oh no. And he looked in the fuel tank, and it was bone dry, and he grabbed a can of gas that he carried with him in his boat and began feverishly to empty it into it. But by the time he got all that done and the engine fired up again, it was too late, and he was swept to his death over the edge. We would say that guy wasn't very smart. He wasn't very wise. Today we want to talk about this business of being wise, living with wisdom. From James chapter 3, verses 13 to 18. That's a passage in the scripture that deals with that whole topic. And that's what we want to look at today. Some time ago, my wife and I were able to attend a commencement service at a major university. This was a college in the university. And we looked at those people there, those professors in their garb gathered on stage. And you would say that, well, these people represent the ultimate of earthly wisdom, don't they? But you know, when I looked at them, and I have a sort of a perverse way of thinking sometimes, I guess. And I thought something else. I thought of a scripture verse from the book of Romans, chapter 1. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And they exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man and of birds and four-footed animals and crawling creatures. You see, I believe that most of those professors up on the stage, no matter that they probably all had doctor's degrees, they all believed, I'm guessing, in evolution. And so they didn't have like people of old time, they didn't have some sort of a stone or a metal image or a wood image covered with metal or with paint to worship. But they had a more sophisticated model that they worshiped, and that would be the evolutionary tree. And that is their God. That's how they explain reality. And with that construct, who needs God? Because everything just happened and we're a law to ourselves. We can think, we can make our own decisions about what is right and what is wrong and who we're responsible to. And the Bible says, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Well, this is something maybe a little closer to home. Picture the North Dakota House Chamber. And my question to you, is this where wisdom comes from? Is that our source of wisdom? Say, well, let's go up a little step higher. How about the North Dakota Senate chamber? Is this chamber the source of wisdom? Well, we might say, I'm sure all those people think they're the fount of wisdom down there in Bismarck. But are they? Are they? Let me ask you this. Do you aspire to live wisely? Do you aspire to live wisely? Is that your goal? This sermon is going to tell you that two things you need to do. You need to fear God and you need to serve God. That's kind of this sermon in a nutshell. Well, let's look briefly at what we're going to talk about, living with wisdom, and the main parts of this message. First of all, the proof of wisdom will be in verse 13. James will discuss earthly wisdom, what it's like in verses 14 to 16. Then he'll discuss heavenly wisdom in verses 17 to 18. then I'm going to look at some selected proverbs on the subject of wisdom, and we're going to end with this same question: do you aspire to live wisely? And we're going to try to make some concluding applications there. All right, first of all, the proof of wisdom, chapter 3, verse 13. James begins with the claim to be wise. Who among you is wise and understanding? And he's not saying, you know, if you out there in my audience, my who are getting my letter, who among you is wise and understanding? And we might address ourselves. Who among us is wise and understanding? Then we need to display wisdom. What is the display of wisdom? First of all, good behavior. In our adult Sunday school class this morning, we're going through the book of Titus, and we talked about several passages which talk about salvation, and then there's an appropriate lifestyle that has to happen if you're saved. Salvation and an appropriate lifestyle. And James is saying the same thing. Let him show by his behavior his good deeds. Let him show by his behavior his good deeds. And then he adds something else. Gentle wisdom in the gentleness of wisdom. So our good behavior and our gentle wisdom needs to prove our wisdom. Well, we might ask ourselves the question, how do we prove our wisdom today? A lot of people have maybe different ways of proving their wisdom. For example, some people think that their grade point average is a display of their wisdom. Is that show us how wise we are? Maybe some might say, well, I've got a high IQ, so I think I'm probably a pretty wise person. Does that reflect our wisdom? People who are going to go to college have to take SAT and ACT scores. Is that a reflection of wisdom? Well, how about if you have some kind of a degree after your name? You have a Bachelor of Arts degree or a Bachelor of Science or maybe even a Master of Arts or, wow, a PhD. Does that mean you're wise? Some of us would say, well, you know, if I make so much money, that person, you know, I've got to be wise. For that person makes a lot of money, he's wise. Does that tell us, show us what wisdom is? Well, there's a biblical answer. And that biblical answer is, you prove you are wise by serving God and other people with good works. So it's not the conventional way of looking at wisdom. It's not what people out there in the world think is wise. God's answer is, you prove you're wise by serving God and other people with your good works. Now, James is going to discuss the subject of earthly wisdom in verses 14 to 16. And he's going to give some indicators of earthly wisdom. And these indicators, first of all, in verse 14, are jealousy and ambition. And that's going to be the characteristic of people who have earthly wisdom. They don't have wisdom from God, it's not from heaven, but earthly wisdom, jealousy and ambition. And he says in verse 14, if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, and he's talking to Christians now because unbelievers aren't the only ones that can have that kind of a disease. We Christians can have jealousy and selfish ambition. And then the next pair is arrogance and deceit. Do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. So James is saying that earthly wisdom is characterized by jealousy and ambition and is characterized by arrogance and deceit. Now, let me just give you a little example. Not too long ago, probably 2 to 3 years ago, there was a movement that was stretched across our land in different places. I don't think we probably ran across it in Turtle Lake, but you might have known some place where it did. This movement was called Occupy Wall Street. And it was a revolt against Wall Street people, against wealthy people. And these people camped out. If they would have camped out in front of Wall Street, if the authorities would have let them, but they were restricted to a city park, and they trashed that place, and they got tents, and they lived there. And The news media just latched onto this. This is the greatest thing. These people want to occupy Wall Street. What a big deal. Well, I don't know if this was accidental. To me, it was more than coincidental. But this movement seemed to spread worldwide. It kind of morphed into the Arab Spring. Now, I'm not going to say that the same people who organized Occupy Wall Street were the same people who organized Arab Spring, but I think they're the same kinds of people. And I think there was something going on there. The revolution continued worldwide. Now, what was this all about? And I'm thinking now particularly of Occupy Wall Street. What were they really on about? Well, they were about selfish ambition and jealousy. Now notice, here's a headline that I got from about that time. Occupy Piccolo. Chicago communities occupy school in protest of privatization. So what was this? What was Occupy Wall Street really about? It was a bunch of Marxists wanting to overthrow capitalism and get government control over everything. That's what they were about. That's what they were about. Now, and by the way, that was posted on an Occupy Wall Street back in February 18th, 2012. Now, you know, I say, well, those Marxist type people, they got a problem with being greedy over other people's money and wanting to transfer it to everybody. And by the way, the rulers always get their fair share, more than their fair share. I don't know if you've noticed that. But anyhow, sometimes I wonder if we can be guilty of that same jealousy and selfish ambition. For example, do you ever drive through a neighborhood like that and say, man, that's a mansion. I don't think those people ought to have a place like that to live. Who needs a place like that to live? You see, we can have selfish ambition and jealousy, or we might say, man, I'd love to live in that place. I'd give anything to live in that place. You know, we can have those same sort of thoughts. Or, man, I'd give anything to drive a car like that, a pretty car like that, all that power. I'd love to have one of those. And that's not fair. Somebody else ought to be able to drive that thing. I ought to be able to have that, you know. Or we might say, you know, I wish I had that kind of beauty. I wish I had that kind of looks. Do we think God has given us a raw deal when it came to beauty, intelligence, or charm? If so, we have fallen prey to earthly wisdom, not heavenly wisdom. Because heavenly wisdom isn't impressed with any of that stuff. It isn't. So let's talk about the source of earthly wisdom. First of all, it is not from above, James 3:15. This wisdom is not that which comes down from above. If you have wisdom that's characterized by jealousy and selfish ambition, it doesn't come from above. It is earthly. It's from this present realm, and it is earthly, first of all, and it is natural. And would you believe it is even demonic? That kind of wisdom that lusts for power and has selfish ambition, that's demonic. It comes from the devil. That wisdom doesn't come from God. If you have that kind of wisdom, those kind of characteristics, you don't have God's wisdom. And what is the fruit of earthly wisdom? Verse 16. Well, would you guess? The presence of jealousy and ambition. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, and you have the presence of chaos and evil, there is disorder and every evil thing. Where there is jealousy and selfish ambition, there is disorder and every evil thing. Let me ask you a question. Do we have a problem in our country with selfish ambition and jealousy? I'm afraid we do. Do we have a problem in our country with chaos and evil? Yes, we do. Every now and then it breaks forth its ugly face, and we see it happening. Well, the fruit of earthly wisdom, where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there's disorder in every evil thing. That's what happens when you have human wisdom. And you have a lot of people who think they're really, really smart and really, really wise, but it all breaks down to their wisdom doesn't come from God. It comes from down here on the earth. And it results in jealousy, selfish ambition, and chaos, disorder in every evil thing. Now, let's make a contrast here, a stark contrast. What is heavenly wisdom like? We're going to be looking at James 3, verses 17 to 18 there. First of all, the character of heavenly wisdom, James 3, 16. Notice the tremendous contrast by what's said about the wisdom that comes from above. The wisdom from above is, notice these words. First, it is pure. First, pure. Then it's peaceable. It's gentle. It is reasonable. It is full of mercy. It's not selfish, it's full of mercy. It's full of good fruits. It is unwavering, and it doesn't have any hypocrisy. Pretty amazing. No hypocrisy. What a contrast heavenly wisdom is with earthly wisdom. Instead of having jealousy, selfish ambition, chaos, and every disorder and every kind of evil work, it's pure, it's peaceable, it's gentle, it's reasonable, it's full of mercy, and on you go. That's God's wisdom. What is the activity of those who possess heavenly wisdom? James 3:18. First of all, they produce righteousness. They produce righteousness. And the seed whose fruit is righteousness, secondly, they produce peace. Peace, righteousness and peace is sown in peace by those who make peace. That's where the wisdom that comes from God is what it's like. It's just a completely different thing. It results in producing righteousness and producing peace. The wisdom from the world pits this class of people against that class of people. The wisdom from this world results in selfishness and jealousy and ambition and chaos and disorder. But you breathe a sigh of relief. The wisdom that comes from above is gentle, it's peaceable. It produces peace. And it's unwavering, it doesn't change, and no hypocrisy there. And it produces righteousness, it produces peace. Now let's go to some proverbs on the subject of wisdom. We could do a lot of them. We're just going to pick about five or six of them. First of all, in Proverbs 16:16, the value of wisdom. How much better it is to get wisdom than gold, and to get understanding is to be chosen above silver. The whole world, especially in our country, thinks, man, the wisest thing you can do is get as much money as you can. And God says it's better to get wisdom than to get gold. It's better to get wisdom and understanding than silver. And so wisdom is far more valuable than gold or silver or any other commodity like that. Proverbs 2, verses 3 to 6, how to gain wisdom. How to gain wisdom. Several things you need to do. Number one, you need to crave wisdom. Proverbs 2:3. For if you cry for discernment and you lift your voice for understanding, you really want wisdom. You have to want wisdom. You have to want wisdom that's from God. Wisdom is not going to come to the person who's faint-hearted or lazy or slothful. You have to really, really want it, and you have to work at it. Secondly, you have to search for wisdom. Proverbs 2:4. If you seek for her as for silver, and you search for her as for hidden treasure, that's a lot of work and ingenuity and research that goes into getting wisdom. Proverbs 2, verse 5, you need to fear God. You need to fear God. Then you will discern the fear of the Lord, and you will discover the knowledge of God. You have to crave wisdom. You have to search for wisdom. You have to fear God. Fear God. Learn wisdom from God, Proverbs 2:6. For the Lord gives wisdom, and from His mouth comes knowledge and understanding. God is the source of wisdom, and this book is the source of wisdom. You've got to spend time in God's book to get yourself wisdom. The source of wisdom, number three, is Proverbs 1, verse 7 and 9, 10. First of all, Proverbs 1, 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Those people who pursue evolution as the fundamental reality of our world are fools, because fearing God is the way you get wisdom, not ignoring God, not ignoring God. And then Proverbs 9, verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Understanding. Here's a strange one, Proverbs 10, 23. What is your hobby? What is your hobby? Some of you have different hobbies, stuff you like to do. Some of you ladies like to do quilting. Some of us guys like to go hunting or fishing. Some of us like to watch the Dallas Cowboys get beat last week by the Washington Redskins. But what is your hobby? What is your sport? What is your recreation? In Proverbs 10:23, here's what's a sport to a fool. Doing wickedness is like sport to a fool. There's some people who just delight in doing bad stuff. Back in school, I can remember kids, classmates who just had they just kind of like to push the envelope and get away with as much as they could. We know people in life like that. Doing wickedness is a sport. It's a recreation to them. If the person is a fool, thinks that way. And so is wisdom to a man of understanding. To a man of understanding, being wise is like his favorite hobby, not like being evil to the fool. Here's one more proverb. Proverbs 10:31, spread wisdom. The mouth of the righteous flows with wisdom, but the perverted tongue will be cut out. The mouth of the righteous flows with wisdom. A person who is righteous is going to, wisdom will just flow from his mouth. What he says will just, man, you know, that makes a lot of sense. Get some advice from a righteous person, it just seems to make a lot of sense. Wisdom just flows from that person. But the perverted tongue, God's going to make sure his tongue gets cut out someday. The perverted tongue will be cut out. Now, let me just kind of make some overall things. Every once in a while, I like to include this. There might be somebody in our audience who's never heard it, or we've never heard it quite this way, how to get right with God. Because to me, that's the wisest thing you could do, is to get right with God, isn't it? The most foolish thing you could do is not be right with God. Well, how do we get right with God? Well, first of all, we have to realize that we have a problem. We have a problem, and our problem is that we have black hearts. We are all sinners. If we're downright honest, we have to admit that inside of us, somewhere back there's blackness. We might think we have it mastered sometimes, but it just kind of every once in a while creeps out, and we think, oh, why did I say that? Or, boy, that was stupid. Why do I do that? I got caught. A black heart. We all sin. The Bible says for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. Not a single person in this world, except for Jesus, He never did sin. Not a single person otherwise who has not sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We like to think, well, man, I'm a pretty good guy. I've got some neighbors. Man, they're real crooks, but I'm pretty good. Oh, I know I've not always told the truth, but compared to them, I'm good. But that doesn't make any difference with God, because all have fallen short of the glory of God. How good do you have to get along with God? You have to be perfect. We've all fallen short of His glory, His goodness. Well, what do we earn? We earn some wages. What are our wages? Our wages are death in all of its forms. And the casket is the least of your problems. That's the least of your problems. A bigger problem is that death means you're separated from God. And the really big problem is if that gets permanent and you go to hell, then you're separated from God forever. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death in all of its forms. All of its forms. That's a pretty sad paycheck for sin. Well, there's some good news, though. God loves us. God loves us. God demonstrates His own love toward us, Romans 5:8, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He died to pay for my sin, every last bit of it. I'm so glad He did that. I'm glad God showed His love for us. And what do I need to do? Well, I need to believe in Jesus. I need to grab a hold of Jesus. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So I hope that everyone here today has said, yeah, I admit it. I've got a problem with sin in here. And I know I deserve to die and I deserve to go to hell, but I believe that Jesus, God loves me so much, He sent Jesus to die for me, and I'm going to grab a hold of Jesus. I hope that every person here will do that. Now, let's suppose that you have done that. Having done that, do you aspire to live wisely? Do you aspire to live wisely? I don't know that all Christians do live wisely. I don't know that they all do. If you want to, you need to fear God. If you fear God, it means you're going to obey Him and you're going to serve Him. And that's what we need to do. We need to fear God and we need to serve Him. You know that I followed the Dallas Cowboys for a long time. I kind of got into this back in 1969 when we moved down to Dallas. And if you like sports and like football and you lived in Dallas in the days of the Dallas Cowboys, and Roger Staubach and some of those guys, you just kind of fell in love with them, and I've never stopped liking them. I can't remember exactly when he lived, but there was I think it was through the Herschel Walker trade, the Cowboys got a really good running back. They got a draft Tony Dorsett. They moved up in the draft and got Tony Dorsett. And Tony Dorsett was a brilliant runner. And he had a lot of 100-yard games, probably won a rushing championship or two. But he was a star for the Dallas Cowboys. But some years later, I noticed there was something wrong, because I read that Tony Dorsett, having earned all those millions of dollars, had to declare bankruptcy. Somehow, Tony Dorsett did not live wisely. You can have a lot of opportunity, and you can have a lot of potential, but each one of us has to make a choice. Am I going to live wisely or not? If you're going to live wisely, you're going to have to fear God and serve God. Let's bow in prayer. Dear Lord, we thank You that You've given us the Word of God. We thank You that You've given us some messages on living wisely, living in wisdom. It's awfully easy, Lord, to make stupid decisions in life. Help us to live in wisdom as we follow You, as we fear God, and we give our lives to serve Him. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You are dismissed.